This past week, at a memorial service here for Bob Boss, who was a member of Hope Church for many years, who blessed this church and the Holland community for all of his 83 years in so many ways. He blessed the church and community partly through music, singing in choirs, and that service had just the most amazing music with choir and hymns and organ praising God together. And another way that Bob blessed people, Bob blessed this church and community, was through puns, through humor, through jokes. Bob loved puns, and the service had some of those that Bob himself had written, his name being Bob, because the doctor thought he was slightly dyslexic, so they thought that would be Bob. Okay, get that. And also, as Pastor Jill preached the sermon, Pastor Jill said a pun. And I was so proud of her. It was so funny. It was hilarious. And Pastor Jill, puns don't come as naturally to her. So she worked really hard on that. And it was really funny. I was really proud. Because you might know puns, I don't know if they come more naturally to me, but I say them a lot, whether they're funny or not. My colleagues in the office know that very well. And in fact, the June Hope Church News is going to have a new feature. It's going to have a Living Hope Renovations Pun of the Month. I'm going to write one each month for the newsletter, so check that out. I'm not sure if the first one is very good, but at least it'll be something to build on. So I think that... So other than this being an excuse for me to slip a pun into a sermon, gives me an opportunity to give thanks to God for a Saint of Hope Church. And I'm starting out this way because I want to talk to you about what words mean. That's part of why I love puns. Words are interesting to me, not just as an intellectual exercise, but to play with and explore. That's why I like poetry and liturgy, too, not just puns. Words can open up things in us in unexpected and creative ways. And that's what I have in mind today with the sermon title, Truth Changes. I want to play with those words today. What does that sound like it means to you? I have in mind a few different things that truth changes could mean, and I'd like to take us through those. And as I do so, it's actually going to take me a little while to get to the scripture today, but we are going to get there, all right? I want you to know that. Play with these words, truth changes. See what that stirs up in you, what some of your assumptions and reactions and convictions are about what you believe. So truth changes. One way to hear those two words is that truth is relative. There's no absolute truth to claim or rely on. Now, if you're a person of faith and you have a belief that such faith is about the unchanging truth of Scripture or the unchanging truth of God, then seeing a sermon title like Truth Changes can make you a little nervous, right? After all, having a faith in an unchanging truth seems important. God is the source of truth. God does not change. And it seems especially important in a culture where truth can be seen as relative. Some would simply say a culture that accommodates truth to what's current or convenient. Nothing solid to stand on or to stand for. And I think that's often how the issue is posed. That religion is a bastion of unchanging truth, which is at war with a culture of relativism. Faith defends itself or defends God from those assailing the truth. And when it plays out that way, then faith is really kind of a list of things, right? A list of things that we believe. I think when you paint the scene as unchanging truth versus truth that changes, then the job of faith becomes making a list of all the things you have to believe, all the doctrines. Perhaps something like the Trinity, the nature of God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we celebrate in our worship today. Part of the list of what's true. And though what we do is we assert and defend our list against those truth changers. The thing is, though, it never ends up just as Christianity versus the culture. The truth is, different Christians have very different lists about what is true. And we're always going to be going at one another about our truth lists. Sometimes it's a healthy discussion, honing our convictions. But often it's just a competition about one saying they have the unchanging truth and accusations about who has lost the truth. Now, it does not seem to me like it's a good idea to make the banner headline, the slogan for a church, "We're not sure about the truth." I don't think that would market so well. But if we're going to claim the truth, then what's our list? Do you have your list ready? You may think it's simple, you may think it's clear, but it's hard to make an unchanging truth list that everyone agrees on. Truth changes. Here's another way to understand those two words. You could hear it more like knowledge changes. What we know about certain things changes over time. An example could be saying that the world is flat and that the sun revolves around the earth, right? At a certain point in time, those things were asserted as true. And just look outside, look at Holland, it's flat, right? And you look at the sun and it goes around the earth. That's how it must be. Except when we discover that it isn't. Now that would seem less controversial, but both church and culture manage to make a mess of that as well. It's partly because there can be a surprising amount of resistance to new discoveries of truth, sometimes especially by religion. Right in the 1600s, the church declared Galileo a heretic for saying that the earth revolved around the sun instead. Even when the evidence is overwhelming, knowledge can be seen as a threat. But it's also the case that things get murky even when there are scientific claims to knowledge. In our information age, you can find a counterclaim to almost any claim. And valid or not, people latch on to both sides. And when new assertions of knowledge have implications for how we do things, whether it's issues of climate change or gender identity or racial bias, then things get very heated very quickly. It might sound simple just to celebrate how human knowledge progresses and our understanding of truth with it. But it's not so simple. What's your list of knowledge? I guarantee you someone has a different list than you do. Truth changes. Okay, this is the part where we get to the scripture. John 16. Jesus says to his disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now, so I will send you a list of the truth." It's the part to see if you're paying attention. It's not what John 16 says. Jesus did not say he would send a list. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now, so I will send you the Spirit of Truth." Because truth is not a list. Truth is the person and presence and Spirit of God within and among us. See, we're in the Gospel of John here, so when we hear Jesus mention truth, lights and alarms should go off, flashing lights that remind us that before this, in John 14, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Truth is not a list, it is a person. And that after this, in John 18, as Jesus stands before Pilate at trial, and they have a discussion about truth, and as Pilate gives his best portrayal of cultural relativism by saying, "What is truth?" There is Jesus, the truth, standing before him. Not a list, but a person. When Jesus says, "The Spirit of Truth will come to you," Jesus is talking about himself, about the presence of the risen Lord among us, which is the truth of life and grace and hope, peace present with us. And that gives an entirely different meaning to what truth changes means. It means that the Spirit's presence within us and among us changes us. It's not the truth that changes, the Spirit of Truth changes us. Truth changes means that the presence of God's grace and power, the Spirit's gifts and peace, the risen Lord's life and love, it changes things, changes us, changes this world. Truth is not a list. Truth is the Spirit of God changing and shaping our lives into a reflection of the God who made us and the God who calls us. You see, this sermon was written this week by this community, teaching me about what truth changes means. I was speaking with one of you this week, and you wondered, what if we started in our faith not with doctrine, but with practice, with the practices that reflect who God is and God's call for us? What if we started, defined our faith first by things like hospitality and justice and the fruits and gifts of the Spirit? It really got me thinking. It speaks of our faith not as a list of beliefs, but as a pattern of practices formed by the Spirit. In John 16, Jesus says that the Spirit of truth will glorify him. And my paraphrase of that is that it's the Spirit's job to make Jesus look good through us, right? The Spirit among us forms us in the practices, the ways of life, and patterns of grace that bring glory to our Lord. Truth changes. The sermon was written as I spoke to one of you who shared a witness of how the Spirit has brought change in your life that you would not have predicted or imagined. I suppose you could say in some ways it was a change in a list of truths, certain things believed about people and about God. But mostly it was about how the Spirit of God changed, created, opened up in him a way of seeing others that was so full of life and blessing. Not a list at all, but the Spirit's gifts. Doesn't mean this person has everything figured out, but it did mean we could rejoice together in the Spirit of truth at work among us. In this passage, Jesus seems to be saying it takes some time for us to hear all that God has to say to us. Amen. That's true. But it was as this person was committed to practicing his faith in community that the Spirit of God was able to change some other things in him too. That's how it is for all of us. As we practice God's grace together, the Spirit of truth will keep changing you, keep changing me, keep changing us more and more into God's image. Because truth changes. The sermon was written reflecting on the Saints of Hope Church that we have given thanks to God for recently. People whose lives are witnesses that the Spirit of truth changes lives, changes this world. Not easy lives, not an easy world at all. Not a list of guarantees or a static list of beliefs. But the real stuff of the Spirit of truth giving life to them and bringing life to others through them. In the words of Proverbs, it's the call of wisdom, the creative power of God. To you I call, O my people, my cry is to all who live. The Spirit of God moving through this world to create true life, to bring real change. Because truth changes. So today, if you want to be a little playful and make somebody a little nervous about Hope Church, happens sometimes anyway, you could say, at Hope Church, we believe that truth changes. But then, instead of comparing your truth lists, you can share how in your living, the Spirit of truth changes you, changes your life. You can practice the presence of grace and hope and compassion, justice and peace in your life. Because on Trinity Sunday, we do not worship a list, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We worship the one God who is revealed to us as the living truth that changes us day by day. Even as we say the Nicene Creed today, try thinking of it not so much as a list of beliefs, but as a witness. A witness to those who over the centuries have had their lives changed by the Spirit of truth. As the Creed says, the Lord and giver of life, moving in, shaping, changing our lives and our world. People of God, there is good news for us today. Truth changes. The Spirit of truth changes us. Thanks be to God. Amen.